All say, amen. We're going to go turn to Luke chapter 5 with me this morning. I know that we are doing our study through 2 Corinthians, but I had mentioned to you that I was going to be bringing forth the second part of our New Year's message, and that's what I'm going to do this morning. Very important word, and I can assure you that the powers of darkness, they have tried to do everything to prevent this word from coming forth from this pulpit on this day. And not only that, they're going to try to prevent it from entering your heart, believe me. So this morning, as we prepare 2019, now if you were here, or if you're part of our local body here, and you have not listened to our New Year's sermon, then you're going to be probably a little bit lost this morning, and maybe not understand all that I'm going to say. So I encourage you to go online or go to the bookstore and pick up the New Year's sermon, for this is actually part two of that sermon. And today it's entitled 2019, Preparing for God's Whirlwind. So that's what we're about to do this morning. You know, we have 10 months left to prepare for what God wants to do in our city. And he wants to blow in, loved one, listen, a whirlwind, and we're the whirlwind of God. And he wants to blow into this city, into this area here. I mean, all of his love, his grace, his hope, his joy, the good news, the comfort of God. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We are going to do something that has not been done and should have been done and will be done on this side of 820. This is the area of our ministry. Now, the whirlwind that God is putting together, as we already know, is not a whirlwind when we think of that as we think of destruction, but that's not what we're talking about. This whirlwind is one who not destroys, but restores, amen? Restores the waste places. We blow into town, and when we do, it just blows away all the junk, and everything is clean, and everything is fresh, and everything is new again. It says in Isaiah 58:12 from our New Year's message, it says, those from among you, and that is us. Now, the verse I'm going to read is applicable not only to Judah, but to every generation since Judah, okay? Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you'll raise up the foundations for many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. So the whirlwind of God is about to pass through this city. And you know what the Word of God says about when a whirlwind passes through the city? Listen carefully, Proverbs 10:25. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. So we know the word that was given unto us. The whirlwind is coming, the harvest is right, R-I-G-H-T, and the word is prepare. You cannot have a whirlwind unless we prepare for one, amen? And that's so important. So we're ready, we need to be ready to be attacked. That's okay. That matter of fact, that made me feel a lot better, you know? You know, we need to be prepared to be attacked because we know that the enemy is not going to just say, oh, come on into this area that has no one cares about. You understand what I mean? So we're prepared for that. Actually, what we're prepared for is to blow him out of town. How's that sound? And that's what we're going to do. You need to prepare, loved one, right now for your faith to be stretched. Is that okay? It's you need to be prepared to have a new adventure with our Lord. He's taking us where we have never, ever been before. And you know something? That requires something on your part. You see, there will be no whirlwind. There won't even be a breeze, loved one. There won't even be a harvest unless we prepare. That requires not just work, but it requires team effort, teamwork. Amen? Now, in Psalm 90, verse 16, very great psalm, it says, let your work, O God, is talking to the Lord, let your work appear to your servants. Well, his work has appeared to us, hasn't it? We know where we're going, and I love this now. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Listen carefully. And establish the work of our hands for us. And it's repeated. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What a glorious request made unto God. Lord, we know the direction you want us to go in. We want you to establish our hands, the work that we're about to do. We want your beauty and your glory to now rest upon us. Amen? Oh, what a glorious thing that's going to be. Listen, that scripture in the Psalms there literally is saying, they're saying, please, oh Lord, let the work of our hands, and let me bring it up to date, in 2019, count. And let it count for all eternity. Amen. Let it be something that has value, not just now, but where our work that we're about to do for the Lord carry all the way into heaven and be there as a reward from God forever and ever. You remember in the book of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 3, when they were preparing to build the wall, and how Nehemiah gathered all of the priests and the women and the leaders and the cupbearers and the perfumers and all the people, they all gathered together. And it says they were working next to him, and the perfumer worked next to him, and the goldsmith worked next to him. Do you remember that? 18 times in chapter 3, it says next to him. Well, that's what we have to have here. We have to work next to each other to accomplish what God wants. Remember in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, after all of they started working, listen to what happened. So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half of its height. And here's the reason. For the people had a mind to work. That literally means their heart was filled with the work of God. Is your heart filled with the work of God? God is calling us to do something we have never, ever done before. And the only way that that's going to occur, loved one, is for us truly to abide in the mind of Christ, to truly abide and embrace the lowly heart of Christ. Are you ready to work? That's the answer. Loved one, that's the question, rather. You see, God's whirlwind must have workers because you are the whirlwind of God. Amen? So with all of that being said, it's time to prepare now, and it's time to prepare for teamwork. Are you in Luke chapter 5? Let's look at verse 1 together. And so it was as the multitude pressed about him, meaning Jesus, to hear the word of God. Boy, that's something, isn't it? That he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them. In other words, they weren't working. The fishing day was over. And they were, look what they were doing. They were washing their nets, in other words, making them, sewing them up and cleaning them for the next fishing day. And, you know, so they were fishing. You know, the American church today, we have the cleanest nets in church history. And you know why? Because they're not being used. 95%, as you've heard me say probably many times, 95% of every Christian, all Christians, have never at one time, not one time in their lifetime, led anyone to Christ. Isn't that a sad comment? Yeah, listen, it's time now. We have to prepare our nets. And the reason is because the harvest, loved one, is right, okay? Now look at verse 3. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and that's Peter, by the way, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down, and Jesus taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the unseen. In other words, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, and look at the purpose, for a catch. You know, every time I read that great passage, we have to realize that the days of shoreline Christianity and shallow Christianity, it's come to an end. We need more, as the wicked one moves into the deep things of wickedness, we need to move in the deep things of the power of God. Amen? Boy, that is so important. And Jesus said, I want you to go out where you've never been. You get out there into the deep. Get away from the shallow waters. Go where you can't see anything. In other words, go to the place where miracles happen. And that's what God wants us to do. And you know what? When we launch out into the deep things of God, that's where we find the things that God has prepared for this fellowship. Now, it says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing. You know, as I've always said when I teach this, it's like Peter saying, Jesus, you know, I love you, but you know what? I'm a professional. I am a professional fisherman. I mean, listen, don't you see my Lawrence Elite 4 HDE chart plotter fish finder combo with high resolution LED on my boat? I stole that from the internet. I don't even know what it is, but it just sounds good. That's got to find fish, you understand? He says, don't you see the name on the side of my boat, Lord? You the carpenter, I'm the fisherman. We fish this area out. That's why our nets are clean. There's not a fish 20 miles from here, Lord. Nevertheless, look what he says. Nevertheless, I'm going to create a new program. No. Nevertheless, at your word, look what he said, I will let down the net. Now listen very carefully. It is my prayer this morning for both services that you're not like Peter in your thinking. In other words, some of you might be, if you listen to the New Year's message, you might be saying, and I'm not saying you are, but you might be saying, you know, Bill, you know, the whirlwind, you know, the harvest is right, and, you know, prepare. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, what kind of word is that? I mean, maybe you're a little bit like, you know, Peter, and you say, well, Bill, you know, you talked about last time the Candy Cane Lane Christmas. Isn't that a little bit over the top? No, actually, that's in the deep. Do you understand? Yeah. See, Peter's nevertheless, don't let it be your nevertheless, because that on Peter's part, when he said nevertheless, was a vote of not being confident in what the Lord said. Why? Because Peter based everything he said on his own personal experience. Do you understand? Not the Word of God. But whenever Peter agreed to join in with the Lord, in other words, at that moment, that's when he teamed up with Jesus, regardless of what he thought. And you know what he did? At your word, I'll let down the net. And look what happened. And when they, see, teamwork, watch this. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their what? That's called teamwork, loved one. In the other part of to their partners in the other boat, so the other boat, to come and help them. And they came, and look what happened, and filled how many boats? Both the boats, man. And look at the result, so that they began to sink. Now listen, we're preparing God's whirlwind. We're preparing it for a Christmas adventure. But more than that, there's going to be other outreaches, but I'm talking about this morning, Christmas. Now, the harvest is right, and when you have Jesus with you, well, that's guaranteed success, isn't it? Absolutely, and that's what they had. Now, they let down their nets. You know why? I don't know if you're a fisherman. I'm not really a fisherman, but have you ever noticed that fish don't jump into your boat? You have to put something out there to catch them. Isn't that right? Well, that's what we're going to be doing as well. But we have to work together. You know, my question, we don't have an answer for it, but how many fish does it take to sink two boats? How many? I mean, let's find out. Amen? Listen, stretch your faith. Now, when Simon Peter, when he saw it, He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him, they were astonished at the catch of fish, which they, there's that word again, had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were what? Partners. That's that team effort again, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, or to Simon, Note what he said. Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men, or literally, you will catch men alive. You know, I can understand Peter, can't you? He's with the Lord Jesus Christ. Depart from me, because I see what just happened in front of my eyes. I was doubting you. Lord, I said, nevertheless, I'll do it. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. I considered you to be wrong. Oh, Lord, look at me. Depart from me. You know my past. You know everything I've ever done. And Jesus says, Peter, don't be afraid. Isn't that a wonderful word? And then he gives that credible thing. He said, from now on. From now on. That means, Peter, you're getting ready to have a break with your past. It's going to be all gone, Peter. And you're going to have a brand new future in front of you, because you're never going to go back, although he did just once, into the fishing business. Now, and when they had brought their boats to land, look what they did. They forsook what? All, and followed Jesus. And you know what? You know the story. Did those men change their world? Absolutely, loved one. Listen, Jesus said, don't be afraid. And they weren't. They left. They went with him. Are you afraid? That's something that we need to get over. You know what I mean? Loved one, did you know that fear only attacks what we're afraid to lose? Did you know that? That's right. Fear only attacks what you're afraid to lose. Now listen to me. They left all and followed Jesus. Is there a cost to follow the Lord? Of course there is. You know, Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In other words, that's what we're to be doing. We're no longer our own. We now serve the Lord. And you know what? There's going to be a cost to be God's whirlwind in this city. There's no way around it. You know, loved one, you're going to have to work, and I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. We're going to have to prepare, and you're also going to have to give some of your time unto the Lord. That's not a bad thing, is it? No, not at all. And here's the question we need to ask ourselves. We have 10 months. What if we don't do this? What if we don't? What would the cost be if we don't prepare? What would be the result of wasting this incredible opportunity that God is giving us? You know, as far as I can tell from God's word, you have been saved to serve him. Amen. In Galatians 1:15, a great word about the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote, he said this, but when it pleased God, not pleased Paul, not pleased you, not pleased me, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb by the grace that was given unto me, not because I was talented, not because I was gifted, but because of grace that was extended to me. When it pleased God. Loved one, listen to me. I look at that and I say, listen, we have 10 months now. A lot of work in front of us to prepare. And this is going to be the largest outreach in 26 years that this church has ever attempted. Oh, who knows what's going to happen? And you know, I think sometimes about how much God has given unto us. About this, you know, life, isn't life short? I mean, it's just a flash, guys. It goes so quickly, you know? And I think about, you know, we look at the junk that we have here, and you know what we have? It may be, so what? It's junk. Our homes are junk. They decay. You got to paint them, got to keep them up. Got to call a plumber, got to call an electrician, got to mow the yard. You don't mow yards in heaven. Angels do. I don't know that, so don't quote me. That's not the word of God, okay? But no, you know, in Romans 8:17, it says this. It says, you are children. You are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, 2019, this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Did you know that glory, heaven, the glory, the place that we're going, the thing that's going to be revealed in us, it's only a heartbeat away? It's just every one of us, it's only a heartbeat away. Listen, everything that Christ receives by divine right, we're going to receive by divine grace. We're co-heirs with Christ. Listen, that doesn't mean that, let's say there's 20 zillion, 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 quadrillion, whatever, people in heaven. That doesn't mean, okay, now all those people are just going to get a little bit. You're co-heir, but you're just less than a 16th because we have to divide it up. That's not what that means. It means as if you were the only one there, you received the full amount. Does that make sense? In other words, let's put it down in greedy Texas talk. If you're a billionaire, you're not going to have to divide it. Everybody's a billionaire. Does that make sense? What? That's what awaits you. That's what awaits me, loved one. Listen, in Christ, we have been given so much. Did you know that there's no more heaven can give? And not only that, we're heirs of God. And what God has done, not only has what he's done, he is not only the source of our inheritance, God himself is our inheritance. Lamentations 3:24 says, the Lord is my portion. The Lord. Man, listen, that's what belongs to you. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, talking to the churches, in chapter 3, verse 21, he said this. He said, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Now, what is that? Can you imagine that? He says, and also, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is part of your being a co-heir with Christ. Listen to me. You're going to sit right there with him. What in the world does that mean? Do you see how much we have? Oh, gosh. A loved one, listen, overcome. You know what troubles me is that we know that, you know, if we love to hear the word overcome, like, I've overcome the world, and we have because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? But why do so many Christians get upset when they have to overcome something? Come on. Why do we get upset? We shouldn't be getting upset. We're going to overcome it because we can. See, we won't know that we're overcomers if we don't have things that come into our life to overcome. Amen? Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, it says in Hebrews 13:13, therefore let us go forth to him, meaning Jesus, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. The world is not our home, is it? But we are racing. We're in a race of faith going to our home. Oh, man, what a day that's going to be. Listen, let this church be a church that not only says they believe God's word, but they act on God's word. They obey God's word. What good is it for you or me or any of us to be called ambassadors for Christ? Are called fishers of men, and yet we don't do that. You see what I mean? Oh, man, listen, I want to be like Paul. You remember when Paul was standing before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, a glorious chapter, and man, he was telling him how the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he became a brand new creation in Christ, and how he sent him to preach the good news and to open the eyes of those that Satan had, of course, deceived and so forth. And Paul says unto King Agrippa in Acts 26:19, he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I love what he said. Listen carefully. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, when Jesus himself appeared to him, remember? I love that. Paul says, oh, listen, how could I be disobedient to the man that I thought was dead, who changed my life, who made me a new creation? Oh, and Paul is saying, listen, his life is now my life. His will is now my will. his ambition and aim and plan that belong to me. I want nothing more than whatever he wants. That's why Paul says in Philippians 1:21, it's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer me. It's the Lord who lives in me. I want you to listen to me for a moment. And you know, I've been praying a lot for this nation that we live in. And we can make a little dent in people's lives, can't we? Because America is in trouble. It's in deep trouble. And not only that, this city's in deep trouble. You know, and we're not in deep trouble. We are the ones to get people out of trouble, amen? Into the real life instead of the false life. Loved one, listen to me. You know, I was thinking last night, you know, I mean, you know what happened on Friday, June 26, 2015. I mean, I know that you know that day. It was the darkest day that ever happened in our nation. It's when the president and the Supreme Court justices opened a door of darkness on our land that we have never, ever had. And at the same time when the Supreme Court justices did that, 62% of Americans at that time agreed with their decision to where same-sex marriage was now legal in our country. The oldest institution known to man, marriage, was then redefined. Man, I look back and how the White House was bathed in rainbow colors. And there were people outside shouting. I'll never forget it. My heart was breaking. I'm not speaking against people. I'm speaking against sin. I'm not cutting down any man or woman. I'm cutting down sin. It's important because I know there'll be emails or radio people. No, listen. I love people. God loves people. I'm talking about sin right now. Lying is sin. Amen? And they were people outside the White House, and they were all shouting, love has won, and we're not done. Over and over, love has won, and we're not done. But love did not win. The devil won. Do you understand? Oh, listen, now it's been 4 years. 4 years have now passed, and you look at the degradation and the darkness in our nation. It is plunging headlong into hell. Do you understand me? Oh, listen, I'm telling you, do you know crosses are being removed everywhere in our nation? They're being removed. They're an offense. Billboards, I think it was the one recently in Waxahachie, because it says something about prayer. It offended people, and so they took it down. And not only that, I don't know if you know that the law that has just been introduced to the Texas State Capitol calling on them to vote to ban the Bible. In other words, it's offensive. You see, we don't like people to say bad things about our lifestyle or the things that we're doing. And then tolerance has become, that is the new law. Tolerance toward everyone in America except the believer. You understand? And not only that, there is a brand new, the latest. It's sweeping our nation. It is unbelievable. And it's about raising children. It's the new norm. In other words, instead of calling babies, they're called babies. Let me explain what I say. I'm not going to mention this person's name, but she recently revealed that she's raising her daughter genderless until her child decides how she wants to identify. The more extreme version of a genderless approach to parenting has been called raising babies, T-H-E-Y, babies, where parents do not disclose the sex of their child, and they use plural pronouns, they, them, their, when addressing them, so the children or their kids can decide for themselves if and when and how they wish to identify. Usually around age 4, they said, is a great age for that to happen. Raising kids this way, their parents say, is to allow them to be free from stereotypes. If the church doesn't wake up, we're going to be in a lot deeper darkness than we've ever been. It's time I don't know about the other churches. I'm not their pastor. But why don't we really become a light? Why don't we just say, Jesus, we're here for everything and anything? Have you not grown weary with the church being so anemic today? When I see people on TV and they say, if you'll send in your money to support this so I can build this or build that, we're going to send you a cutting board with a scripture on it. Have we really been reduced to that? Do you understand? Have we been reduced to where we have to throw things out on our radio and our TV programs where, in other words, to say, you got to have this book, you got to have this teaching, if we need your help. You know what? I don't understand anymore. Because I believe God will supply every need. And if he doesn't, maybe we don't need to be doing it. Does that make sense? Christians don't have to beg for anything. We work for the Lord, and where God guides, he always provides. Now listen, we're going to have a Candy Cane Lane Christmas. Again, if you don't know what that means, you have to go to the bookstore or go online and listen to the New Year's sermon. Imagine what is going to happen as the word starts spreading and gets out into this community about what we are thinking and planning and preparing to do, and gets out into this city and the community as well. I mean, think, we have 10 months to build momentum. Do you understand? Wow. I mean, planning, hopefully, with the residents of Diamond Oaks Drive North and South, which runs right here. Not only that, we have 10 months when the people start hearing this, they become our advertisement. They're, you know how people, they talk. They spread the news. They, you know what that crazy church is even thinking about doing? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be all over. And they don't know that they're spreading the good news for Jesus, but they are. They're going to be talking about you in Calvary Chapel. 10 months, people are going to see us as we start moving into this outreach. They're going to start seeing and witnessing how love never fails. We have 10 months that are filled with opportunities to share Christ, to tell people about the good news as we move into the planning and preparing stages. And you know what? They're going to be asking you. They're going to say, you know, we heard about what you guys are doing. Don't you think maybe your pastor has gone off the, you know, the cheese, you know, has gone off the cracker, or he's gone off the deep end? And all you have to tell them, no, he hasn't gone off the deep end. He's gone into the deep. We've launched out into the deep with the things where God has prepared for us. Amen? See, that's what we're doing. And you know what? It's just not teamwork. It's team effort. And only God knows the results that's going to happen within the next 10 months. Now, some of you might be saying, what if, Bill, what if the residents on Candy Cane Lane, that's what this is, Diamond Oaks Drive North and South, what if they say, we don't, I mean, even though many still participate in the Candy Cane Lane, but what are we going to do if they don't want to participate? Well, if they don't want to play, we won't play. Is that okay? But we're still going to move forward. This area will become that. Does that make sense? Oh, yes, loved one, nothing's going to stop us. We're going to be preparing for the single moms and for kids and for gifts and all different kinds of things. We're going to have a Candy Cane Lane Christmas outreach at Calvary Chapel, regardless if no one else is involved or not. But we have to prepare. And, you know, listen, I don't know how God is going to put all this together. The worst thing we can do is put everything in concrete, and God says, that's not what I wanted. See, I've learned to say, okay, we step out and he guides us. Does that make sense? He puts the plan together. We're being led by the Spirit. We're not being led by committees and any of that. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be a team effort, each and every one of us. So we can't define it yet, but we can declare it. Now, this much I do know. Our risen Savior, he, you know, well, one of the foundational scriptures of our church, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. I know that our risen Savior has authorized us to go. Amen? And I know also that he has empowered us to go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you're going to be my witnesses. And also he has chosen us to go in John 15, 16, where Jesus said, he said, you didn't choose me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you that you should go and that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to step out like never before. This is going to be our largest, most important, and greatest outreach that we have ever done at this church. Why? Well, there's many reasons, which we'll get into in just a moment. But, you know, the main reason is from a scripture that always rests upon my heart, from Proverbs 24:11, that says this. It says, deliver or literally rescue those who are drawn toward death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. You know what that means, the slaughter, talking about those that are lost, that are they're going to go to hell, man, if they're not saved. Do you understand? Oh, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he who winneth souls is wise. That's what we're going to do. This may be our last outreach. This may be our last opportunity. This may be our last year. Remember in 2 Kings 2:11, it says that Elijah, it said he went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Amen? He went up, he wasn't dead, was he? Oh no, he was alive. He didn't see death. You don't know. Maybe it's time for the whirlwind to remove us. Amen? Maybe it's time for us to go. I don't know. So, with all that being said, some of you are saying, okay, Bill, I've heard what you're saying. How do we prepare? Well, I didn't think you were ever going to ask, okay? Now, let me just read to you some points that you're going to be viewing later on online, but not today, of course. Let me just show you what we're going to speak to you. First of all, everything I'm saying is still forming. It's tentative. It's being put in place, okay? We're putting together the whirlwind teams, not committees, teams. Does that make sense? All team effort. We're all working together. Everyone in this church has an opportunity, from the youth to the kids' church and everyone in the pew. And it's this, we're preparing. We're not contacting anyone at this time. We're on a reconnaissance mission. This is our think tank. This is team effort. We're going to start thinking. Each team will explore ways to make this happen, Candy Cane Christmas, okay? If you feel you'd like to be a part of the restoration of Candy Cane Lane, like to take part in the outreach to the local community, then here are the areas, if you're gifted in, you can serve. Number one, this is the office. Now, that has to do with me. So team one is going to be the staff here, where we reach out to Diamonds Oak Drive, north and south, with the residents, and then I'm going to have a town hall meeting and talk about the rest to restore what was here when thousands of cars would come through this way during the Christmas season. It was unbelievable. Now, so I'm going to handle that part. Team two is going to be construction. Now, this team is going to build candy canes for here for the church. And when you go to this site, when we send it to you, you'll see a place. Just give you an example on how they're built. But really, they're pretty simple. But there's instructions. Basically, they're going to be built out of PVC, the ones that are needed. And they can light up from the exterior or the interior. And they're huge. Okay? If you've ever driven down for Christmas and seen them, you know what I'm talking about. And we'll also provide instructions, say, for homeowners who say, hey, we'd like to build our own and be a part of this. We can give them the instructions. For those that are maybe disabled and old, feeble, not able to do that anymore, but they really want to. If they don't have them, because most all the residences, it was part of the community, they still have them. But if they don't, we'll build one for them, or if they have them, we'll install them. Does that make sense? So that's a construction team. And then we're going to have an electrical team. Those that are experienced in electrical, because, see, we're going to light up the tree line, boy, I mean this whole area, and we'll have to be pulling from our where existing electrical is, so we'll have to be able to light up all the trees, just the trunks, not anything else. And then we have team four. That's the lighting and design installation. This team will collaborate with the electrical team to develop the design plan for the campus. Team five, very important team. This team explores and researches the needs of the community within a 1.5-mile radius of Calvary Chapel, south of Interstate 20 only, south, not north, only in this area, 1.5 miles. And it goes on, and it says that you guys will be researching and exploring what the greatest needs are in the community, reaching out perhaps to the city and schools and who are single parents, all these things, and how we can accomplish it. And then team number six, this is going to be a great one. Team number six is the team that's going to tell the story about Christmas. What do I mean by that? Well, you're going to be the Calvary Chapel Creek. You know where the creek is? There's a creek down there. We're going to be the Calvary Chapel Creek Carolers, okay? Yes, that's right. We're going to have all that going on, and there's going to be whoever loves to act, and we're going to have the manger scene right there on the street, right down at the bottom. Everything's going to be lit up. It's going to be incredible. And the cars, they're going to be passing by because it's going to be bumper to bumper. Do you understand me? It's going to be bumper to bumper in Jesus' name. Something's coming. We're going to be a part of it. Now, with all that being said, you know, maybe we'll have the star out, you know, every night. If on December, we'll be all set up and so forth. We're going to be developing ways to minister to the people that come into this area. Maybe if we're able to have gifts and so forth, we're going to plan all that. See, I can't define it. I can only tell you, kinda. Does that make sense? That's what the teams do. They have to put all this in perspective. And then I'm going to talk with Pastor Matt across the street. We've met many times. And I'm going to see if he will for the starting of our property, the starting of his property, all the candy canes, all the way down past the creek, and then they pick up with the neighborhood. Do you follow me? This will be the entryway where people will be coming in. And then we're going to set up our campus out here. Maybe there'll be hot chocolate. Or maybe there'll be people say, I just need you to pray for me. And maybe if we do, if the businesses get together and we have a lot of gifts and so forth for single moms, single dads with their children, for seniors, you understand, the poor, then we'll be able to, we'll already plan and know how they need to be distributed. Does that make sense? This is going to take your work. It's up to you. It's up to you. If you don't do it, it won't work. We're going to have to really do some work here. And so then we're going to have another team, Team 7, and they reach out to the local businesses and also the residents, people, to see if they'd like to be involved. You see what we're doing? We're getting this whole area involved, or at least the opportunity for them to be involved. And maybe they say, well, you know what? I'd like to give a gift. Or I'd like to just come over here. We're not trying to add to the church here. Do you understand? We're trying to change and restore. We're trying to drive the devil out of here. We're going to give hope unto people. And then Team 8, very important team. There's going to be people in the church that they can't do a lot of this the activity. They're older like me. And they're limited a little bit. And you know, but here's what you can do. Team 8 is prayer. Where every day you're interceding for divine favor, you know, for this city and the community and for the restoration of Candy Cane Lane. We are preparing. We are now getting ready to start forming the whirlwind. One of my favorite scriptures is from Psalm 78, I think it's 19. And they ask a question. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. He's going to prepare this table. Now the question is now, will you be a part of God's whirlwind? And here's what you need to do, if you will. All you have to do is email us at info@loveneverfails.com. We need your name, telephone number, of course, your email address. Once you have done that, we're going to send you a link to a website that has all the things that I've just talked to you about. the teams, the eight teams. And by the time you go on it later in the week, it may be nine teams. I'm not for sure. And then we're going to say, I want to be on part of that team. And then we're going to have the teams to start farming. And then we're going to be looking to you to get all of these facts on what we need to do, what we don't need to do. Does that make sense? We have 10 months to prepare. And then we are going to blow into this city like never before. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for all that you're doing. I believe, Lord. I believe with all my heart. I already see it in my spirit, Lord, and in my mind. I pray that you put that in their hearts. Lord, this won't work unless your people go to work. We've got to reach out, Lord. When we see faces that have hope, when we see single moms who can't afford to send their little one to a dentist and we're able to give her a gift or tires or food or Christ Jesus. What a great opportunity. Oh, I'm so thankful. I love you, Lord. Bless your people. Keep them now. In Jesus' name. And the church says,